great material for Father's Day. Men of faith, men that loved their families, men that did great deeds on behalf of their children, their sons, and their daughters. And over the years, I've made reference to many of those great men in the Bible. But today, we'll take a little different approach to the importance of godly fathers. As you can tell by the title, Father Knows Best. And when you see that title, you immediately think of a television show, don't you? Can't help but think of this show right there, right? Father Knows Best. Now, seven or eight years ago, we made up gospel tracts that we designed and put together, and we used that image on the very front of the tract. You can see it here. I've got one in my hand. We use that very same image, and it says that, it reminds us, while it says Father Knows Best, it says there's another Father who truly knows best, and that's our Heavenly Father. And then inside this gospel tract was many of your personal testimonies. Some of you may remember, you wrote out your personal testimonies. Then we put your testimony in one of these tracts. We made up a lot for you so that you could hand them out. And it's very personal because it says, this is how I come to know Christ as my Savior. In fact, the tract that I've got has got the personal testimony of Coy Watkins in it. And I've got all of those testimonies that many of you put together, still save those. And so this is one, of course. On the back of it, by the way, is the next photo. Now, it looks like they're reading the Bible, doesn't it? We put that on the back of the little tract that we put together. And so we just pretended that they're reading a Bible. And it says, trust it. In the Word of God, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, He should direct your paths, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, I think what they're really doing is if you look at Bud, he's got batter all over him. I think they've got an instruction book on how to help him figure out how to cook. I don't know if that's the case or not, but in my imagination, who knows what they're looking at, but we just pretend it's the Word of God and it's the Bible, by the way. So today, Father's Day, we're going to look back at this classic TV show, and particularly its title, as a lesson for us this morning. As you remember, the show would begin with these words. Here are Robert Young, Jane White, with Eleanor Donahue, Billy Gray, and Laura Chapin in Father Knows Best. It was one of the most beloved television series in the 1950s and the early 60s. It was the winner of six Emmy Awards. It averaged the number six most popular TV show in the Nielsen ratings, even in its final year. The Anderson family. The Anderson family were one of America's favorite TV families. In fact, the series began on television on CBS in 1954. For 4 or 5 years before that, it had been a TV show. It had been a radio show, then it became a TV show. The television show, in the very first year, it was sponsored by Kent Cigarettes. I can't even remember Kent Cigarettes. Kent Cigarettes, and then later, Scott Paper Company became the primary sponsor. They produced a total of 203 episodes. It ran until September of 1960, and this program actually appeared on all three television networks during those years that it ran. The characters, you can see the characters there. The character of the mother, Margaret, was played by Jane White. Hers was a voice of reason for the family. But the father, Jim Anderson, of course, was played by Robert Young. His voice as the father was one that offered sage advice whenever one of his three children or his wife had a problem, whatever it may be, he was there with wisdom and guidance. Jim was a salesman. He was the manager of the General Insurance Company in Springfield. We don't know what state, it was just Springfield. It seems all American, doesn't it? It's in Springfield. And Margaret, of course, was his housewife. One of the many summaries of the popular TV show, summaries by others that had watched it, characterized the Anderson family and the television show is a truly idealized family, the sort that viewers could relate to and emulate. And the series became so ingrained into American pop culture as the ideal family and ideal family life that in 1959, the U.S. Treasury Department commissioned a special 30-minute episode of Father Knows Best, and it was distributed to schools and churches and to civics groups, and it had one goal, that was to promote the buying of U.S. savings bonds. Y'all remember that, don't you? Buying savings bonds, I can remember being in school, we had a chance to save up and buy savings bonds in our elementary school. Well, Jim Anderson, as the father, he was responsible father. He loved his wife, he loved his kids, and he was a man that would show up and do a paper route in the rain when his boy Bud was sick. He was a man that would choose to attend his little girl Kathy's school program rather than an important Chamber of Commerce meeting. For Jim, the family came first. But sometimes for him, it was a delicate balancing act. In episode after episode, Jim Anderson treated his children's youthful transgressions. He treated them with love and compassion, and also with authority and wisdom. He was the father. He was the head of the house. By the end of each half hour, we all learned what the lesson was they wanted to teach us in that episode. But the show also had some criticism. In the later years, as people became much more enlightened, you understand, in the later years, critics claimed that shows like Father Knows Best was just too idealistic. It wasn't real. They claimed that shows like Ozzie and Harriet was just too idealistic. There was no realism in those shows. Or another one that they were critical of was one of my favorites, Leave It to Beaver. All of those shows, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, they all showed traditional families with a loving father, and yet the shows were criticized as being so unrealistic. What the shows portrayed were moms and dads together that were committed to the family. What the shows portrayed was a father that was decent, that was good, that was loving and kind, a father that showed the principles and values of work ethic, integrity, faith, morality, discipline, and leadership within the family. Those are all good things, aren't they? Those are all great examples for families. I watched those shows. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic father, and he was rarely ever at home. And for me, these TV shows that we're talking about, these TV fathers, these fathers in these shows, they became the example that I wanted to be like. I would see these dads in these TV shows loving and kind and there for their family. And I would, in my heart, I said, I want to be like that father. I want to be like that kind of husband. Oh, sure, I knew it was make-believe. I knew it was a made-up stuff for a TV show. But for me, it created, and for thousands and millions of others, it created an image. It created an idea in my mind, in my heart, of what a family could be like, what it could be like when there's a responsible, loving father in the home. And that's what I desperately wanted. I didn't have that in my home, but I wanted to be that someday when I was a father. Now, compare those things we've just talked about, compare that to today's modern TV shows. Is there anything on modern television that's like that at all? That shows what we've just talked about, the kind of characteristics that shows a man and a father in a way that these men and fathers were shown. Can you imagine TV shows today that would show families that go to church? Can you imagine a modern TV show today showing families that go to church, show children attending Sunday school, show lives that give reference to biblical values and morals? Can you imagine a show doing that today? I don't know that one exists. Each of the shows that I've mentioned, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet, and Leave It to Beaver, all in the late 50s and the early 60s. In each of those different shows, every one of them had episodes of church attendance and Sunday school attendance and prayer. Look at this image of the Anderson family sitting around the kitchen table. What are they doing? Holding hands and praying as a family together. Can you imagine TV shows doing that today? No, we've lost all of those values, haven't we? The modern culture, Hollywood, that produces, they don't even think that this would be a family. Yesterday, I have to say I felt so blessed because my son and daughter-in-law, my grandson, were there having dinner with us last night. We gathered in the kitchen, we all stood there, we held hands, and we prayed together as a family. And I thank God for that opportunity as a family for us to pray together, just as you see in this image. It's really a sad statement, isn't it, about our modern culture, that all these values are missing in stories on television and in movies about families. In fact, our culture belittles the role of men in the family. Our culture belittles the role of godly fathers. They're almost completely absent from the entertainment world's projection of modern life. They're just not there. Not only godly fathers, but the family is also belittled. The family unit is belittled. It's shown as fractured and irrelevant. The TV show, Father Knows Best, centered on a wise father that usually had good answers when the conflicts of life came in his family. But I want to remind all of us today, our Heavenly Father, hallelujah, our Heavenly Father always, always knows what's best, doesn't He? He created the family unit, didn't He? He created the family unit. He created family units with fathers that had the qualities that our culture now dismisses or ignores. So for just a few minutes this morning, let's examine those qualities of a father that knows best. And it starts with the father who knows best knows Christ. Boy, that's an easy one, isn't it? The father that knows best knows Jesus. In Matthew, Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And in verse 16, gives Peter's reply. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Oh, praise God for fathers who, like Peter, declare that Jesus is their Savior, a life-giving personal Savior, the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Fathers that make that declaration that they know Christ. The father who knows best keeps the commands of God. A godly father knows the commandments, such as, "You shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul." That's in Deuteronomy 11 and 18. It's the commandments of God. It's His commandments that provide the very structure for the fabric of our society, the family unit. Look at the scripture with me in Matthew 19, 4 and 5. Jesus said in Matthew, and He answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's real straightforward, isn't it? It's real simple to understand what God is saying there. And yet our culture has completely forgotten the commandments of God, the principles of God, and this reality for our lives. A godly father not only knows the Lord's commandments, he observes and does the Lord's commandments. Revelation 22 and 14 declares, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life." So it's one thing to know them, but it's another thing to carry them out in your lives. Number three, the father who knows best abides in Christ. He abides in Christ for wisdom. Matthew 10 and 16, "Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." A godly father abides in Christ for spiritual blessings. In Ephesians 1 and 3, Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The godly father also abides in Christ for guidance. How many of you need guidance? Our nation needs guidance, doesn't it? The Psalm 37 and 5, the verse says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen. Then a godly father remembers the words of Jesus in John 15, 4 and 5. Speaking of abiding, look at these words, how often they appear. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Let me tell you, a godly father understands I can do nothing outside of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am nothing without Christ. Number four, the father who knows best loves the house of the Lord. The father that knows best loves to attend church because he thirsts after righteousness. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The father who knows best has praise because of the influence of the church, the Lord's house. Psalm 84 and 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Number five, the father who knows best, I love this one, don't you? Is satisfied with Jesus. Pastor, you said that sounds so simple. It is simple. It's powerful and it's real. But the reality is that we can get so off that sense of satisfaction. We can get so off of being Jesus being our only source of real satisfaction. We get caught up in some other issues. We get caught up in other stuff. We get caught up in things. Only Jesus can really satisfy. Isn't that true? Only Jesus can. And a father that knows that, he's satisfied with the Christ that dwells in his heart. He understands that nothing can take the place of the satisfaction of having Christ in his heart. There's nothing else in this world that will ever mean as much to any of us. And a father understands that. The meaning of knowing Christ personally. Ephesians 3 and 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. The father that knows best is satisfied with an inheritance from heaven. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything on this earth that is worth giving up the inheritance that God has for us in heaven? Nothing is. And a godly father understands that. 1 Peter 1 and 4 reminds us of an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a great thing God has for you and for me, waiting for us, an inheritance better than anything in this world, better than any joy, temporary pleasure that this world could ever give us. Well, in one of the episodes of Father Knows Best, the little girl Kathy, Jim Anderson's youngest child, has a part in a school event in which she won the winning essay, an essay of why she has such a great dad. But the night of the school event is the same night of a Chamber of Commerce event. And it was a Chamber of Commerce event in which Jim Anderson was being nominated to be president of the Chamber of Commerce. And his little girl Kathy is just begging him, Daddy, I love you. Don't you want to come and hear what I've written about in my essay about my father? So what does Jim do? Does he attend the PTA meeting to hear his daughter's essay about what a great daddy is? Or does he attend the Chamber of Commerce meeting where he's about to be nominated to be president of the Chamber of Commerce? Well, the PTA meeting starts, and Jim's not in attendance. Kathy's looking out and her father's not there. And she just is brokenhearted because she so wanted him to be there. But you see, Jim's wife, Margaret, had a heavy hand in his decision. Margaret urged him to attend the Chamber of Commerce meeting. Said that if you'll do that, Jim, you'll be able to go places. You'll be someone in the community. In fact, Margaret even told him in this episode that if he attended the Chamber of Commerce meeting, that St. Peter would let him into pearly gates because he didn't shirk his duty and responsibility to his community. Well, Kathy, you know, she's up on that stage looking out, wondering where her daddy is. She's just heartbroken. She begins to read her little essay with great sadness. And suddenly, she looks up and in comes her father. He forsook the chamber membership, leadership opportunity. And as her daddy walks in, her little face just lights up with joy. The tone and demeanor change as she's proudly reading her essay of why her dad is such a great person. Well, now Jim Anderson is there and he's sitting up on the stage behind his little girl. And as he sits there, as she reads the essay, he begins to remember his wife's words about what St. Peter would say if he didn't participate in making his community a better place. And he begins to just kind of daydream, you know. You ever do that somewhere, you start daydreaming? He starts just daydreaming. And he's daydreaming that he's standing right in front of St. Peter. And St. Peter is asking him why he avoided his duty to the community. And Jim answers in his daydream, and he says that he would forever have the memory of his daughter's face full of joy as he walked into that PTA meeting, and that no position of leadership in the Chamber of Commerce could ever equal that feeling of joy he had attending for his little girl. And St. Peter smiled at him and told him that he had indeed made the right decision and the right choice and welcomed Jim into heaven. Well, we all understand that making a choice between your daughter's PTA meeting and encouraging her and attending a Chamber of Commerce meeting, that choice is not the pathway into heaven. We understand that, okay? Our entrance into heaven is based on just one thing, isn't it? It's based on one thing, and that is accepting the sacrificial death of God's Son on an old rugged cross, and forgiveness of our sins by our Savior, and surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus. Being born again, becoming a member of God's family, that's the only pathway into heaven. But praise God for godly fathers, amen. Praise God for fathers who knew what was best because they trusted in Christ. Praise God for a father who chooses Christ and puts Jesus first in his life and understands the priority of his sons and daughters and family. I couldn't resist of putting an image of a man that was more of a father to me than anyone. That was my grandfather, Reverend Earl McLaughlin. He's in the middle of that picture in the white shirt. And to his side, as we look at the picture to the right, but to his left in the white dress is my grandmother, Pearl McLaughlin. Isn't that a great combo, Earl and Pearl McLaughlin? It's great. He pastored the Church of God in Stroud, Oklahoma. His sons and daughters are in that picture. It's Christmas time. Both of his daughters are at the ends of the front row, and his four sons are behind him. My dad is peering over my grandfather's shoulder there. If you look to the left of my grandfather's head, my dad's head is right there peering ahead, and then his other three brothers are there. That picture was taken in about 1960 or 1961. And when my grandfather passed away in 1967, none of his sons were serving the Lord at all. And I know it had to grieve him tremendously knowing that none of his sons were living a life of faith serving Christ. But his daughters were, praise God, at that point. But before his four sons died, every one of those boys gave their hearts to, every one of those men, I should say, gave their hearts to Jesus, were born again, and put their trust in Christ because of a father a godly man whose example lasted for years and years and years in the memories of his sons and made a difference that day when they bowed their heads and repented and asked Christ to be their Savior. What a wonderful thing it is to have a father in a home, to be a father in a home full of faith, trusting in Christ, and being a man that indeed does know best because he knows our Heavenly Father. Amen. Praise God for those fathers. Father, we thank you today as we celebrate the fathers in our families. God, we thank you for examples in our own families of fathers and grandfathers that stood the test of time in steadfast faith and love and hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for allowing those men in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be those fathers in the lives of our families, our wives and our children. Thank you, Father, for the blessings and the gift that you give us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't say thank you enough. We praise you today and we give honor to you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.